If you would, please turn your Bibles to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke chapter 13. And we'll look at verses 20 and 21 this morning. Luke chapter 13, and we're told that again, he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leavened." Well, some might read those words of Jesus and say, "Now, why can't we have sermons like that?" His words, of course, are spoken here in the context of a broader discussion. There's much that he has to say in these and in the surrounding verses by way of instruction to the people that were there. But this is clearly one of the briefest parables that Jesus spoke. Reminds me of a preacher who got up and began one Sunday morning with kind of an apology to his audience, and he explained that that morning his dog had gotten a hold of his notes, lesson notes, and eaten them, and that he would do the best he could to, you know, to deliver his lesson from memory, but probably would not be the full lesson. He preached about 10 minutes or so, and after services, as people were going out, there were about eight visitors there that day, all of whom requested that if they gave their phone numbers to the preacher with the request that if that dog ever had any puppies, they would love to get one for their preacher. There is, of course, a lot to be said in the fact of the brevity of what Jesus has to say here. It is yet packed with meaning and significance, as he basically is engaged in a little bit of telling folks, the folks gathered there, what to expect, and that's true of a lot of his parables. They are lessons about what his disciples could expect, what they should expect, and in this instance, it is what they could expect regarding the kingdom. What is this kingdom that he was going about preaching? What was it going to be like? How large would it be? How significant would it be? How important would it be? And he was letting them know a little bit about what they could expect in this regard. So I'd like to spend our time this morning for a few moments talking about this kingdom of the Lord's, and what could be expected? What should we expect regarding the kingdom? And essentially, what Jesus was teaching in these brief words was that this was going to be an increasing kingdom, that they should expect the kingdom of which he preached, and of which they would become part, to be a kingdom that would be increasing. He conveys this idea in the 21st verse with the use of the image of leaven, and which would have been very commonly known in among those folks. But he says, it is, it That is the kingdom. That's what he couched this consideration with in verse 20. Of what shall I compare the kingdom, or to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? And his answer is, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leavened. And as some of you know, I'm not much of a cook, so I'm not going to, I can't speak with a great deal of experience about things having to do with cooking. But my understanding is that leaven is an agent that people of that day and time, cooking bread or something like that, that they would put leaven, which I understand is basically it's yeast. They would put that into a loaf of bread, and that leaven would spread throughout that loaf and cause it to rise. It therefore became representative, if you will, leaven of a spreading agent, a spreading influence. And the scriptures have actually a fair amount to say about leaven. Over in the book of Exodus, in the 12th chapter, we'll find in verses 18 and 19 that there, under the law, that in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. Here we see essentially a recognition of the fact that there was to be no leaven. There was a negative associated with leaven in the instructions of Moses in the book of Exodus. And there is a negative associated with leaven and the concept of leaven in several passages of Scripture. For instance, as you look in Luke, the 12th chapter, and in the first verse, there we're told that under these circumstances, after so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together, that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now Jesus was using this very familiar image of leaven and the spreading influence that it would exert in things like cooking bread and so forth. But he uses it in connection to the Pharisees and the danger presented by the Pharisees to his disciples. And his warning was, you be careful that you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which he identifies as being hypocrisy. Hypocrisy can be very much like leaven, is what Jesus is saying. Hypocrisy is the pretending of being what one really is not. I'm sure you've heard it explained as having the word hypocrisy having its root in the Greek theater, and to describe how an actor would wear a mask. They would come on the stage holding a mask before their face, a mask of the character that they were portraying, and that was the idea of hypocrisy. It's the wearing of a mask. It's the pretending of being what one is not, in fact. And what Jesus was saying to his disciples was, you need to be careful about this. It's associated, this is a characteristic, if you will, associated with the Pharisees, of giving a pretense of being someone that you're not. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we see another use of the concept of leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul writes there, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? You see the idea of a spreading influence there. Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover has also been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Clearly, Paul is speaking here in figurative terms, and he's concerned, expressing concern to his brethren in Corinth, that they, in their moral character, would become influenced, as it were, by the leavening agent of immorality. He's concerned about the spread within their character of malice, in verse 8, and wickedness. He says, let's not be that way. Let's not be people of that kind of character. But rather, he says, let's be people who are characterized as those with unleavened, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so you see the contrast between being unleavened and leavened in Paul's discussion here. Over in the book of Galatians, we find where he uses this imagery once again. Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 9, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. He said, it's going to spread. It's going to have its effect. He is expressing here concern over false teaching in the fifth chapter, and he's just saying it's going to have a spreading effect among God's people. It just really can't be avoided. And so we see in these passages of Scripture, there is quite often a negative impact, if you will, a negative use of this imagery of leaven. And so what the Scriptures would have us to understand is we need to be concerned. We need to be on guard against allowing hypocrisy, pretending to be something that we're not, to take root in our character. If we do that, it's just going to spread, and it's going to have a spreading influence. We need to be concerned about immorality in our lives, and whether or not we are practitioners of that which is immoral. We need to understand that if we are, that it is bringing into our lives an influence that will spread and that will increase, and that the outcome will not be good. We need to always, as Christians, be concerned about false doctrine and the teaching of false doctrine, the acceptance of false doctrine, But we need to look at it as being like leaven. And we need to pay heed to the Apostle Paul's admonition that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You know, sometimes we think, well, if it's just a little bit of something, that won't be bad. We can accept it. We can condone it. We can say, well, it's okay. It's not that bad. What does Paul say here? He said, well, it just takes a little bit of leaven, and it can have its spreading influence. So, in light of this, it's interesting that Jesus would use this imagery to describe the kingdom. You go back to Luke, the 13th chapter in our text, and it's very clear. You know, I think a lot of times this parable of Jesus is poorly explained and wrongly applied. Because there is so much that we associate in a negative way with leaven, based on these scriptures that we've looked at so far. But Jesus clearly is talking in this passage about the kingdom of heaven. And he's asking, what should I compare this kingdom to? And he says, it's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leaven. There is a positive use in Jesus' teaching here of this concept of leaven, this concept of a spreading influence. And sometimes it may be a little difficult for us to look at a metaphor that is so oftentimes used in a negative way to look at it in a positive way. But I remind you that there are passages of Scripture such as 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 where the text tells us that your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Well, what is the devil like? Well, he's like a lion. He's like a lion that is on the hunt, looking for whomever he could find to devour. Then you turn over to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, and there John, in his describing his vision, says that one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its 7 seals. In the context of that statement, you find, of course, a description of Jesus and his unique position to be the Savior. But what is he described as? He's described as the lion of the tribe of Judah. How can we talk about Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah and talk about the devil as a roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour? Well, of course, the context of the two passages make it clear that in one there's a very negative character that is being that is involved, who is certainly very powerful. But in the other passage, in the Revelation passage, the context makes it plain that there is a very positive character who is involved, one who is deserving of our of our worship and our adoration. The point is, the metaphors, the illustrations can be used in both a positive and a negative way. And so is it true of leaven and the concept of leaven. And Jesus makes it plain in his teaching here in Luke chapter 13 that he's speaking of something positive. He's speaking of the kingdom of God. And he's using the image of leaven in order to describe it and to describe to these disciples what they could expect about that kingdom. Leaven is a powerful influence in the teaching that Jesus offers in this instance. He describes, you know, just the very common activity of a woman baking bread and how she would take some leaven, put it into that bread, and then as it baked, the leaven would spread. He says that's the way the kingdom is. He says this kingdom is going to spread. It's going to have a developing influence in the lives of men and women. If you turn your Bibles back to the book of Matthew in the 12th chapter, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 17 through 21, this is what he says. In order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope." This was a prophecy declared about the Lord, and it is applied here to Jesus, and it describes the characteristics, if you will, of Jesus's work. It describes the way that Jesus would work among people, and I would particularly point your attention to the things that he says. That he will not quarrel, in verse 19, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. And he's not going to be boisterous. He's not going to be the kind of person who is confrontational in the things that he says and in his teachings. Rather, the gentility of Jesus is described in verse 20. A battered reed he will not break off. A reed that is that is bent, it's close to being broken off. He's going to be so gentle that he wouldn't break off a reed. It's a figurative way of describing how gentle Jesus would be. A smoldering wick he will not put out. Imagine a candle that's been burning for some time and it's burning low now. He won't extinguish it. And this is how he would deal, the point is, this is how he would deal with people who are perhaps bent and people who are dealing with difficulties in their life. He's not going to just, you know, roughly and thoughtlessly, you know, break off this person with harshness of dealing. And he's not going to extinguish as a person in their life is maybe dealing with hardships and seems as though they're the flame of their life, if you will, is about to burn out. He's not going to be the type that extinguishes them. And this will be his practice until he leads justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. The whole point here is of how gently, how easily Jesus will deal with people. Now go back to that imagery that Jesus uses to describe the kingdom that he is promoting, the kingdom that he is preaching. He says it's like leaven. That which is inserted in a piece of bread, and then almost without observation, easily, it begins to spread. It begins to have its effect. He says that's the way the kingdom of God is going to be. And that's what you can expect. When he talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about the rule of God in the lives of men and women. The rule that he was promoting in the lives of those that would heed his teachings. It was going to have an almost imperceptible, an almost unobservable kind of influence in the lives of people. But nonetheless, a real influence upon the lives of men and women. Now, may I ask you this? What do you expect? What do you expect from the kingdom of God? I think sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking, well, if there's not a grandiose kind of, you know, development, if the church doesn't gain a lot of influence and a lot of attention in the lives of people in general, that somehow things are just not working out as they should. Well, that's not the case. That's exactly what Jesus told his listeners in Luke 13 was not going to happen. But rather there was going to be a steady, almost imperceptible kind of influence exerted in the lives of people. And it's so today. It's true today. Is that what you anticipate? Is that what you expect to happen? Is it what you would anticipate to happen in your own life? Would you allow the Lord to have a steady, almost imperceptible influence upon you so that you might become a part of His kingdom and that you might become what only He can make you? If you're not a Christian, won't you let Him make you a Christian? Won't you let Him create in you the kind of influence in your life that would lead you to become the kind of person that He would have you to be? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation of the gospel, then we certainly are ready to help you give your obedience to Him. If you believe that He's God's Son, would turn away from your sins, confess your faith in Him, you would be baptized, washing away the guilt of your sins. You can become a part of this kingdom that Jesus was speaking about. And that influence in your life can begin. We pray that you would make that so as we stand and sing together.